talking about Check It Out Corner. Y'all, please, go check out that Truckin' Chubbs, man. The dude is, and especially when him and Shad get on there. Him and Shad, they got a chemistry, bro. It's almost like peaches and herb, bro. They got this thing going.
Yo, what up with it, everybody up out there? What's going on? Birdstone Light on the building. What's up, shout out to South Coast King, man. He in the intro. My guy's in the intro. That's a dope intro, man. I appreciate you, man. I promise you, I'll be able to give you your little 1%, 2% in maybe a couple years, however long it takes. But believe me, man, I got you, dog. I got you. What up, Birdstone? What's up with you? What up with y'all, man? I ain't nothing, man. You know, we just kicking back today, man. We ain't got a super long show. I always say that, then we wind up going a little bit longer, but we got like four topics to talk about today. We ain't gonna hold y'all too long. We know y'all busy and everything. People got short expense. They can't pay attention for too long. You dig? So, but I want to introduce my co-host, man. I'm so proud of him for this, man. I've been bragging all week, telling everybody about it. Author of two books, Miami Hurricanes faithful fan. He will get up in you and he don't give a god. None other than Shad. 1-4-1-9. One time for the man. Let's go, baby. What up, dog? What's going on? Auntie Mo Bangs in the building. I see y'all out there support. Make sure that y'all share on y'all social medias for us, man. It don't matter, you know what I mean? I appreciate it. If people come in, they come in. If they don't, they don't. Yes, man. Yes. He wrote two books, Birdstone. Like body, Shad has written two books, y'all, and I would advise y'all to support him. Please support my guy, my co-host, man. You know what I'm saying? Get his information, DM him, hit him up, man. See how much, like, cause that's huge. That's what I said. That's what I told him. I'm proud of him. Like, I'm walking around work with my chest poked out, walking around and talking to everybody. When I promote my channel, now I got something to brag about. Yeah, my co-host on Saturdays, he wrote two books too. Oh, really? Did he? Yeah, he wrote two books. He good with his words, you dig? He, you know what I mean? Like, that's huge, man. You know, I am, man. So I'm definitely buying them books. So when we get off that, so I advise y'all, you know what I'm saying? Y'all want to support, man, and we all should support each other. You know, y'all got anything going on, let us know. But as far as I know right now, you know, he got two books, you know. So that's real dope, man. That's real dope. Some fiction books, man. Shout out to him, man. One more time, man. He said, Birdstone wants to know what's the name of your novels or your book.
Oh.
What it do?
We got The Gifted Stranger and we got Porter City to Rebirth.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
They don't have enough pages to be considered.
The link for the book is his cash now.
Many know. Yeah.
Straight up.
So well,
shout out your Cash App one time, Shad, so they know where they can send the money to get your book, bro. Seem like they interested in grabbing it.
I'm after what is my Cash App? I don't use my Cash App enough. Let me
okay.
We'll get it home. Yeah, we'll get it to him. Yeah.
Okay, no doubt. Yeah, we'll get it. What up? Daryl Page Sports. I was checking your short out, man. I shared it, bro, man. You got to let me know.
DP
got to let me know what you're going on, man. So I enjoy what I did see. So, you know what I mean? I would like to, you know, really watch you, man, see how you get down up out there. I see you speaking on the Bud and the football and all that. I like what you said about that. But, man, look, man, I appreciate y'all coming through and kicking it with us. Make sure y'all hit the like button. Share us, man, for real, man. Support. Oh man, I got some things going on, man. But you know, we'll find a way. We'll pray through. But we're going to keep it going, man. We're going to keep it going. So I just wanted to start off talking about the team. Team USA lost a football game to Japan.
We got to clarify because, you know, depending on who's listening, when they hear football, you know, they may think we're talking about soccer. So we got to put American football in front of it.
Okay. And American football.
They may say, well, hey, Japan, they can kick, you know, they can play soccer. You know what I mean? So we got to say American football to put the emphasis on how just unbelievable this is.
Breaker 1-9. Trucking coming through. Hey, Trucking, what you got going on there, buddy? Did you hear? In American football, we lost the game. Japan kicked our asses.
Lost the game, bro.
Got smacked.
They should have sent IMG out there, man.
Man, that's horrible. I think it's just horrible the way that they lost. But it just brought up a whole different topic for me and what's wrong with the American sports right now as they stand. I don't care if who was out on that football field. They shouldn't have put whoever's on that football field on that football field if they was not ready to compete for the world. Like, that's an excuse.
For the world, Craig.
You know what I mean? You feel me, dog? Like, I can't, like, why would you put anybody out there to go play and represent America? That should mean something to you. Like, that's I don't care which way you look at it, every suburb, every hood, every child, everybody from the U.S., you is representing the whole U.S., and you don't went over to Japan and lost to the ninjas in football, the monks in football, like, the sumo wrestlers in football. Like, I can't, you know, man, and I know that Birdstone, but that's what I'm saying. There's everybody saying there's no NFL plays there should have been at least the people third, fourth string on the depth chart or something. You can't do that. You know what I mean? Like, and I agree. And DP, I agree 100% with that take right there, bro. UFL players definitely probably would have did a lot better. I agree with that. I agree. That's come on, man. You can't do that. We can't be putting these bums out there on the field like that, man. I don't care, but
I looked at it, mm-hmm. and the league, from what I saw when I looked at it, is like U20, right? So basically, I guess that's like anybody under 20. So when I looked at the roster, none of the guys were like over the age of like 19.
Dude, that's even worse.
So
that's even worse.
But I'll say this: none of the names that I saw, a few of the names that I saw, I went to go look at their like high school rankings.
Yeah.
Like, none of these guys are like highly coveted. You know what
so
I mean?
It's not even so, our it's not even ugh, they ain't so, even ranked in the ESPN Jones or nothing.
Yeah. So really it's one of them situations. Like, from a high school perspective, you have like the Army All-American game, you got the Under Armour All-American game, you got you know, those high school all-star games and stuff like that, the opening and all that stuff like that. So technically, none of those guys that participate in those events played in this particular game. So I'm of the mindset, it's kind of like, you know, back in the day when they had the Olympics, they would send the college players over there to play against the grown men before they put the NFL guys, I mean, the NBA guys over there and started dominating. So in reality, maybe if they would have put the Under Armour All-American team over there, or maybe the Army All-American team over there or something like that, maybe it would have been a different result. But I will say this. I mean, they had some notable alumni that have played on this team. Trevon mm-hmm. Diggs was one. Cooper Beebe, guard from tackle from Kansas State that recently got drafted in the first round, he played on this particular team during his time. So there were a handful of guys in the past that, you know, have made it to the NFL. But in reality, this is not the best high school prospects that are going out here to play.
And that's horrible. And that's even sorry. Come on, man.
Yeah, so that's a little context. So, you know, Birdstone, it wasn't 20-plus-year-old people out there, like guys who may have played a little semi-pro,
man.
Or like, you know, my dog DP said, like the UFL. Like, it wasn't guys on that particular level. These are guys that are still, that have just recently – graduated from high school, you know what I mean?
Okay. They're
not necessarily highly coveted, you know what I mean? So,
right, yeah.
Yeah.
And that just goes to show, like, so where is our sports at, period? We talked about basketball and where basketball is going in a way that...
Well, you know what?
Green. So or is football that same way?
No, I don't know.
I can't either.
I can't see America allowing for football to get to where basketball is.
Right.
I can't because of the just, but obviously we see they're making provisions to try to enhance the sport and grow the sport globally. You know, but I just think like just the amount of emphasis that is being put on football now. And we watched it. You know, if we look at the evolution of sports, America's favorite sports have changed over the years. Obviously, boxing was at one point the peak. Then obviously baseball, basketball. And now football's, you know, reign of dominance is taking over. But similar to those other particular sports. The American influence in it has kind of is not where it used, you know, kind of where it used to be because, you know, obviously at one point in time, boxing in America was like, okay, a lot of Americans, but you kind of see now like American heavyweights, they're kind of UK guys and even some of the guys in the lower weight classes, they're Europeans and baseball, you watch the Dominican Republic and Caribbean guys kind of, you know, integrate into that. And now we're watching it unfolding basketball like literally I was just on the phone with my buddy before we got on this show. I told him, I said, I don't even know who the first pick was in the NBA draft. I don't know these people. I don't know these young men. And so I'm just saying, but on a serious note though, that is a good question. Is football going to fall to the same type of things that are going on with the other sports? And that is interesting.
You know what? But I got something interesting to ask. Do we think that we get caught up in the glitz of a sport, the money, the everything else, and we just don't stay dedicated because it's training? Obviously, these other countries know that you got to be well trained to play sports, and they're taking it. It seemed like the training is taken more serious than we do. Could that be something? Am I on to something there, you think?
I mean, it's possible. I mean, like I say, that would be an interesting situation that we would have to maybe look at in depth about why, what. Because obviously when we look at, again, we'll go back to boxing. One of the things that got some of the best, you know, bigger guys out of boxing is because they transitioned over to more lucrative sports like basketball and football. Like a left tackle like Trent Williams 30 years ago probably would have been a heavyweight champion in boxing. You know what I'm saying? Like 30 years ago. But right now he's the premier left tackle in the NFL getting paid a crap ton of money. And damage, you know, the damage is still the same in terms of the physicality, but got some benefits applied to it because boxing is, you know, it doesn't have all that stuff. But I mean, I could see a disinterest because again, we talked about baseball in the show before because we were talking about the Negro Leagues, and we noticed in the 90s the decline in brothers playing the sport, you know, obviously because I remember in the 90s, hey, I wanted to play baseball. Ken Griffey Jr., my favorite baseball player, right? Everybody wanted to, I'm not gonna say everybody because some people like Gary Sheffield, some people like Barry Bonds, whatever. But most kids I know, we want to be Ken Griffey because we love that doggone swing. Absolutely. You know what I'm saying? But we saw something change. But I just, and I don't want to be obnoxious when I say this, but I just do not see football succumbing to that same things that have maybe taken over basketball, baseball, and even boxing. I can't see that just because you need I can't see it, bro. I'm blind from the forest. I can't see the forest from the trees. You know what I'm saying?
They had ninjas playing running back. They had Yokozuna from Street Fighter. Remember Yokozuna? He was playing guard. They hit you with that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, and
Well, I said they should have sent IMG. They should have sent IMG over there.
And when you said like the youth, it's our youth that was playing their youth, which makes it to me seem more even like crazier, because it's like how it and fit more into the narrative. Like, are we losing that? Like, cause it's like, man, I hope not. I really hope to say,
but I say this though, I look at it like this. Maybe this is just a moral victory for me.
Right.
I'm not going to be so arrogant to feel like we can send our second and third team on a tour and handle business. You know what I'm saying? Okay. I'm not going to be that obnoxious. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's why I said at the beginning of the show, or before we even started, they should have sent, let IMG go over there. Let them play. Cause IMG, they're not allowed to play in playoffs. They can't, you know, because of the distinction that they have. Let IMG, who hoards all these players, let them go. The game is played in Canada, so it's not like they have to travel, you know, overseas. They've played, you know, so let IMG go over there and see what they can do.
Yeah, facts. Yeah. Just don't be sending no anybody's go represent the whole U.S. We already looking bad, you know. Bro. I don't even want to talk about politics, but
they had like the quarterback that they had, right? They were talking about like he's a viral sensation because he's ambidextrous. So I said, okay, well, I'm sure you got some offers. Bro, my man has no stars. My man have no star. What DP say? The kids at IMG won't want to risk injuries. What do you say, kids? But the kids that lack playing time at IMG should play. I mean, DP, I don't disagree with you, you know, like that. But I think IMG is in a situation where maybe it may have been they probably could have got some financial, you know, guarantees to maybe participate in something like that. And then again, I don't necessarily know the rules of engagement, mm-hmm. you know what I mean, for that. I don't think they can just say, okay, well, Team USA is just going to be Team Bradenton, Florida now. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like the young men came, like they had players from, which I mean, IMG essentially has amassed players from Cali, Florida, Texas, Georgia, you know, wherever. And that's essentially how that team was comprised. But it looks bad.
It does.
But when you look at it, when you peel a layer back, you see, like, I mean, we didn't send our best over there. You know what I mean? So,
man.
But still, though, you would think, but, you know.
Yeah, man.
The gap is closing a little bit, though, you know. Obviously, we have to acknowledge that.
Who picked the team? Like, that's who picked it. Who picked the team?
But this is what's so crazy about it. You know, when you look at this stuff, like, they've been doing this for, like, 15 years.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, so who picked the teams? Like, we could have went and got some young men that's 18 and 19 with some second chances. Like, okay, you messed up. You ain't got the grades of college. I'm going to give you a chance to come play for Team USA American football. And they probably would have did better than what we saw.
Hey, so basically, they sent Bishop Sycamore to Canada to play.
And we got smacked.
They sent Bishop Sycamore to Canada, my G. That's what they did.
They probably would have beat them. I mean, you look at some of the top schools down there in Mississippi, down there in Florida. Some of them top high schools probably would have beat the team we sent over there.
More than likely.
See,
let IMG go over there.
Mm-hmm.
Let them participate next year. But I'm sure they're not going to take this line down. I guarantee, you know, if they do this next year, dream team, baby.
All right. I hope so.
I see it now. Like, they're going to get, like, the Army All-American team or the, you know, Army All-American team. They're going to announce those teams early,
mm-hmm.
right? And they're going to say, hey, look, y'all not going to do the 7-on-7 circuit. Y'all going to come up here. Y'all going to go to Canada. I don't know how many games have to be played. Y'all mm-hmm. going to play these games. Y'all going to represent for America. We got to put an end to this.
Yeah, we do. We got to be American football? Like, come on, man. Come on, man.
It's different.
It is different, man. It is. You know it is. So, with that being said, man, we just got to move on because that is stamped USDA wrong. That is stamped wrong. period.
I think the championship game is matter of fact, the championship game is today. Today's the 30th, right?
Yes.
Oh, tomorrow the 30th. No, yeah,
tomorrow,
yeah. So
Tomorrow.
So the championship game is like tomorrow. Yeah, yeah.
He said that DP said I like that idea, Shad. Yeah, that'd be dope. Cause we can't take no more L's. We cannot take no L's in American football.
But that's how crazy it is. Like they've been doing this for like 15 years, and like this is the first time. Like obviously, you know what I'm saying. So we have to give Japan a little credit to say, hey, look, you know they're catching up a little bit, but you know it's still a little work. But like I said, they've had some nice alumni. Like I said, Trayvon Diggs participated in one of these tournaments, so they have had. But that's why I say with the NIL and all that stuff like that, you know, like some of these guys, they're gonna have to be incentivized to come do it. So that's why I think you have to get like a high school team to do it, like IMG or Bosco or
some kind of,
you know what I'm saying? You know, something like that, where they're still in high school, not guys that are about to go to college. Because like I say, you know, kind of like what Darryl Pay said, they're not gonna risk injury. Like, no, if I got an NIL deal and I'm about to graduate, no, I'm not gonna risk injury. But like, if I got a season to go. I don't know. That makes sense, bro.
It makes sense, but I get it. It was just embarrassing. They shouldn't have sent no camera crew. I know that shit.
Hey, bro. Hey.
NBA draft. I don't even know. I don't know some of these guys. I'm gonna keep.
I don't even know who had the first pick.
I pulled up a list because I know it just happened, and I know we trying to talk most recent things. The first pick of the draft, I can't even pronounce old boy's name and where he's from. He's from like JL Borgen Breezy. I don't know. It sounds like a dish. I don't know. Air dot just me being fat. I don't know. But that's what it sounds like. You know where he's supposed to be from. And then Alex Saar from Perth, and then Reed Shepherd came off number three to the Rockets from Kentucky. So, you know, you go there. Okay. And then number eight to the Spurs, Rob Dillingham, Kentucky, and traded to the Timberwolves, it said. So I don't know why, but whatever. So that's another guy from Kentucky that came off the board. And that's, ain't that your guy, Calipari or whatever?
Hey, man.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, he's still obviously he knows what to do, and he knows what to do on with developing talent as far as NBA talent. So a lot of people are going to look to him, and I wonder if this is going to continue. I don't wonder. I know, and I
think it's going to continue.
It's going to continue at Arkansas down there in Arkansas.
Most definitely.
But you know, the draft, I don't know none of these guys, and that just goes into our last conversation, man. Like for real, man, it just goes into our next conversation we just left, man. Like, what is that? Like, our sport, like, this, we're in trouble, dog. We're like, all jokes aside, like, we are in trouble. Like, we have to. I'm confused, Katie. Like, that's, I'm confused. I'm lost. I'm like, where the fuck is it? I'm confused. I don't know these guys, but Birdstone's helping out here. He said, look. Look, DP said, I ain't know nobody until the ninth pick, dog. Like, I don't know none of these guys. I ain't know none of them. He said, I ain't know nobody to the ninth pick. And that was Zach Edey for, like, you know what I mean?
Went to the
Grizzlies, obviously. Do you think he'll fit at the Grizzlies, though, Zach Edey? How you think he'll do over there with Ja Morant, man?
I don't know because, like I say, going back to – and I think I brought this up. No. I think maybe me and you talked about this, but we didn't talk about it on the show. But I was watching Gil's Arena, and they were talking about Zach Edey. And they were just talking about, like, the style of play that he has. Like, he's not a guy that steps out and shoots threes and stuff like that. So understanding what Ja Morant likes to do as a player that likes to get to the rack, you know, posterizing dunks. Unless Zach Edey can start playing 16 to 18 feet away from the basket to get some of that mess out of the inside, I don't necessarily see that working because I don't see Ja Morant changing his game to acquiesce to Zach Edey. So
I would have liked
to see but I will say this though. I think with even though the Nuggets, they didn't make it to the finals, I do think that template of going back to having bigger teams, I do think maybe that is coming back a little bit, you know, because, I mean, the Celtics are not a short team by any stretch. So I do think that you do need to get some size because you are going to have to deal with Jokic. So it's in the West. So you need somebody to do that. You know what I'm saying?
He says, how y'all feel about PG-13 and Klay becoming free agent? Word is 76ers, Warriors, Magic, and play for PG-13, Clippers, Lakers, Mavs, and play for Klay. Do you understand what he's saying?
Yeah. He was just saying, you know, PG, Warriors, 76ers, Magic, and Klay. Wait a minute. No. Yeah. 76ers. Okay. And Clippers and play for. I mean, I don't know. I mean, to be honest, from Klay Thompson's perspective, I think that those two injuries in consecutive years have took some years away from him. So unless Klay Thompson is going to relegate himself to being kind of like what Mike Miller was with the Heat that year they won the championship when he came in, he was just like the designated three-ball shooter. Unless he can step into that role and do that, then he'll be fine. But if not, I mean, I don't see – because he's not sitting in that chair anymore playing defense. And PG at this point, I mean, man, the Clippers pulled the Brooklyn Nets. They put a lot of money towards names and got nothing, absolutely nothing in return for it. But I think I like PG going to the Sixers.
You know?
I would like that because, again, like I said, you need some length out there. You know what I'm saying? Like, PG's like, what, 6'9"? So, good matchup for Tatum. PG still can play defense. You know what I'm saying? You got Embiid. You know what I mean? So, I would like that, you know, going back to the Eastern Conference because I do think the Eastern Conference is kind of getting a little bit stronger right now.
I was just about to say that, DP. And I don't mean to cut you off with your question. I'm gonna get to your question too, Burstung. But I was just gonna say that, and now you know that he's so tall. I'm gonna say exactly how I was gonna say it because I know how I do it. He's just so tall. Like, how could you stop that? How could you stop that dude? Like, I mean, literally, he's so big. Like, he's just that's all he needs to do is get to the ball first, rebound, make an occasional pass. Because I think when Jaws driving, you know, when he draw the double team, kick it to Edie, get easy buckets, and do well at the free throw line, I think that's where he's going to have to improve his game at the most. And I know that's easy to say, but that's where they're going to need him at the most is at the free throw line because he's going to get fouled a lot. So he should just be focusing on free throws. Like, that should be the bulk of his training. Is free throws, you know what I mean? And then everything else, I just will just come with experience, but he's going to get hacked a lot for real. And they're going to need
some work.
Easy points.
He's going to get some work out though. Cause you got Kat, you got Jokic, you know, when they play the Sixers, you got to get some work.
He's not a little dude either. You know what I mean? I think he'll fit there good, but PG and Klay though, man, I thought they should have walked. I don't know. I mean, They had decent seasons. I guess they're looked at more. They're no longer stars. I say. Would y'all agree with that? Like, are they still stars in the league?
I think PG is still a star. Klay, I think, like I say, with that Achilles and that ACL, I think he's lost his star status.
Are you bringing him on your team to play a role or to be a star?
No, I'm bringing PG in to be like my number one or my number two, depending on the situation. Like I said, Klay to me. You got to be ready to take that Mike Miller role with the Heat. Like, you my 3-point, like you coming off the bench, you know, give me 12, 13 points. You know what I'm saying? You know, 90% from the free throw line in a situation like that. Like, that's what I'm looking at Klay Thompson do. I'm not looking at Klay Thompson to come in and be my starting shooting guard. He's not that anymore. And I can tell because – you know what I'm saying? I don't watch the NBA like I used to, but you know, you see the clips and it looks like some people are kind of getting, like some of the clips I've seen, like some guys are kind of getting under his skin because they know, like, bro, you you ain't got it no more. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
injury then took something away from you. Like, bro, you still got the jumper though. The jumper's still there, but as far as like being the guy that can go out there and lock up, you know what I'm saying? Like, Clay's never been a guy that was gonna put the ball on the ground and go make his own shot anyway. You know what I'm saying? He's a spot up shooter. So if he goes to a situation, you know what I'm saying, where you have a point guard, or I mean, like
Clay's attributes, like we talk about, right? You would say they're best for the Lakers. Clay's attributes, as of right now, what he does and where he's strong at is the Lakers.
I'll say this: any team that has a guy that can put the ball on the ground and get to the basket. Because you brought up the Lakers, I was just about to say, because we were just talking about the Grizzlies, like Ja Morant. Ja Morant is going to get to the basket. Ja Morant get to the basket, and then you can kick it out to Clay.
Ooh. Okay. Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
I can work too.
But like I say, any team that has a team where you have a guy that needs space to get to the basket, I think Clay would be great for something like that.
Word.
And he brings that veteran leadership and understanding, championship experience. So, I mean, he would pay dividends on and off the court. I think, to be honest, his overall value to a team is more than Paul George's is, in my opinion. But I think just if we're talking pure player, I think Paul George brings more value just as a on-court player. But I think Clay value is great because you got championship experience, and
he can knock him down.
Yeah.
He can knock him down.
Yeah, deadly shooter.
So Isaiah Collier went to the Utah Jazz. Like, he was another one of the guards that was on USC with Bronny. He wound up going over there. I like his mentality, man. He just goes in, bro. Like he ain't got. He just goes, man. I like the way he play. I don't know if you ever got to see any clips of him or anything, man. But Isaiah Collier is just—he a dog to me. He's a dog. And the Jazz, though, I'm like they got some rebuilding and doing over there, and it's like wow. So they probably be starting out. I mean, let's see what he does. You know, we'll see what he do. Get used to the NBA, but they need to get him some more. I probably would have liked him more with over there with Victor. With the Spurs, with Victor Wembanyama, I thought they would try to go get one of them guys. But look, Boogie Ellis is still there. I don't think nobody drafted Boogie. I think Boogie went undrafted, if I'm not mistaken. Y'all fact check me in the chat, because Boogie Ellis, I don't think he was, because of none other than our man Bronny James went to the Lakers. Let's talk about that.
It's your guy.
I think it's super dope that him and his dad get to play together, man. In the NBA, I want to start off by saying that and showing love with that. You know, I don't think you could really hate on the fact that he getting to play with his dad in the NBA. I think all NBA players would want to share the court with their son at least once, and they would love to do that. So I see that now. You could talk about the locker room aspect of it and everything else. And I think also he has – who's going to train him? Who's going to develop him? His dad is. His dad is. You know, you can say what you want about LeBron, but LeBron is one of the best in the sport. And for that reason, he gets to sit there and train his son and show his son and train with him. Looks like I watched a video with them doing that earlier, and I think that's super dope. Now, we heard nepotism and all that other stuff. I really don't rather not get into all of that. But what do we think now? It's already here. It's done. What do we expect out of Bronny? When is he going to develop into the player that his full potential? Like, it's going to be years down the line, obviously, and everything else. You know, but like I was saying, there was another guard on that team that didn't even get picked. Boogie Ellis was the best guard for USC. Let's just hands down, he was the player. But Bronny's there with the Lakers with the 55th pick. They got a Connect from Tennessee. And I believe they grabbed somebody else too. People were saying something about reminding them of Luka and this and that. I don't know about all of that. It's too early to be talking about somebody playing like Luka Doncic out there in the NBA, because that ain't happening. I don't think he's there. Let's slow down with that. But he's here, and I think that's dope, man. I know you want Bronny to go to trade school and all that, Shad. I know you want him to go to trade school, and I know you didn't want him to go to the NBA. But look, he's here, dog. He's here. What do you expect to see out of Bronny in his first year, bro?
Well, the first hurdle he has to clear is, to me, actually making the active roster. You know what I'm saying? I think that has to happen. He has to make the active roster, because him getting drafted, to me, doesn't guarantee him making the active roster. He still got to make sure he doesn't get put into the G League. So him and LeBron actually playing together in the NBA game, I still think that hurdle does have to be clear, because I don't think any of the guys that are the other guys that are on the bench, mm-hmm. I don't think they're going to be just, all right, we're just going to let Bronny James have it. Like, he still has work to do, right? You know, regardless, right, to mm-hmm. not be relegated to the G League. So I think how he performs in the summer league is going to have to, you know, is going to have to be pretty good. You know what I mean? So I do think it's going to be interesting. Like, I know most people are saying, like, oh, it's going to be dope to watch him and his dad play. You know, people are making the jokes like, okay, well, what happens if LeBron doesn't get back on defense? Is Bronny going to say, hey, look, bro, hey, that's your man. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But it's like, whoa, let's pump the brakes a little bit, because his body has to mature. He's not in stature.
Yeah.
He's not a big guy.
Hard.
Yeah. I mean, hard aside, like, what, Bronny's like, what, $185, $190 maybe? So, no, you I'm know laughing what I'm saying?
At DP, man. I'm laughing at what DP said, bro. Yeah. Hey, yo, LeBron, what's the call?
I mean, but like I said, though, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see if he actually does actually play for the Lakers.
Okay.
This season.
Yeah, yeah. Right, because he still got to develop. He got a lot more developing to do, man. I thought
he got to get his body together, you know.
Yeah, and that heart, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. You still got. You still got
pushing yourself like that, and everything that he went through, as far as that goes, man. That is scary alone, man. But yeah, he said. But thank you for that, Birdstone, for looking that up for us, man. He definitely went. Boogie Ellis definitely went undrafted, and I know we're talking about Bronny and Bronny's on the screen, but I wanted to go back into that right there. Boogie Ellis going undrafted is, to me, wow, because his instinct. Have you seen his highlights yet? Please tell me you've seen some of his highlights from USC.
No, I haven't seen
them. Oh my goodness, bro, go and check those out, bro. He is fire. Boogie Ellis is that a Boogie Ellis, man. He gets down, boogie, yoogie, yoogie.
Well, tell me what am I anticipating? Like Kyrie like, back, okay, so, John Wall back. Like, John, what am I looking? What am I gonna see?
What you gonna see is just, he just goes, man. I can't compare.
John Morant back. Like, I mean, what? Ooh, you know, what am I expecting? Because when you tell me to go look at somebody, highlights,
all around game, man, and he played D, man.
But no,
you know what? He played more like a shooting guard, I guess you would say. I wouldn't say his passing. He passes a lot, so he's a scorer. He's definitely a scorer. Boogie is a scorer, and he got an all-around game. He could shoot. You know, his mid-range game is nice. He definitely drives. His driving game is on point. He was the best player on USC besides him and Isaiah Collier was him. They was it. That was USC last year. Boogie Ellis and Isaiah Collier that went to the Jazz, and Boogie went undrafted. So I'm thinking, like, what is something happened? you know, because you're gonna see a good player, you know what I mean? But what I say, you may not see in him. So I could sit here and tell you everything, Shad, or what I think of him, but you might watch him and think it's something else. You know what I mean?
I'm gonna take your word for it. I'm gonna check it out.
I think he has I think he has a good all-around game. He plays defense and he's a scorer. He knows how to get it done. He said Boogie could play good at Duke. He said Boogie can play. He was good at Duke. He just shouldn't have reclassified. Him reclassifying stunted his growth as a player. Oh, that's interesting. Boogie decent too. Put it in perspective. He left Duke because he couldn't beat out Jeremy Roach, who was still in college at Baylor this year. Yeah. They all decided to leave. The center from North Carolina State also went undrafted. Oh yeah, big boy. Was he gonna go to football or basketball? I don't think he was ready to, you know, decide it. I thought he was, you know, still caught in between. That's the guy you're talking about, right?
I know. Yeah, you're talking about DJ, yeah. DJ Burns.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, Burns. I thought he can play football or basketball, so. But you know, and this draft class wasn't strong. Just to say that, you know, a lot of people, it wasn't. It just wasn't.
When was the last strong draft class in the NBA?
The last strong draft class in the NBA. The last strong one. I couldn't tell
Was it Zion and Ja Morant? Or was it back when Lonzo and De'Aaron Fox came out?
I did. That's most recent. Zion and Ja Morant, they both doing well in the NBA right now. I'll take that.
But I'm just talking about substance. Like, because I want to say, didn't like the Lonzo Ball draft class, like it was like him, De'Aaron Fox. Like it was a couple of guys in that draft class. But, you know, it was some years ago, though.
Yeah. He was a bully down low. But y'all, we about to get up into the last topic of the evening because we've been up on here for 45 and y'all know what time it is. We about to go in. I'm excited for this. I'm super pumped. Hey, yo, I'm geeked. I'm over here geeked right now for this. Yes, sir. The greatest of all time defenses. And guess what? There is no catch this week. We can go in on all of them. So, y'all got y'all defenses out there. I hope y'all got them picked. I'm going to let you go first. I'll give you the honors of going first with your all-time great defense. You said we was going to do three apiece, but we're going to have some fun and interact with the chat as well. But you go ahead and give me your first defense, your greatest defense of all time. Let's go.
I'm going to be honest. Obviously, most people are going to say the 2000 Ravens, right? But to be honest with you, I actually like the 2002 Buccaneers defense better.
Okay.
Because you essentially had that dominant defensive tackle up front. Morris Sapp, got Derrick Brooks. Like they you literally had an elite player at each level. You had Warren Sapp, then you got Brooks, then you got John Lynch and Rondae Barber out there. So that's why I say when I look at like elite, and again, I take the thing away from the 2000 Ravens, but like, you know, Ray was there. You know what I mean? But it was just a good team defense. Like I know, I like the corners that they had, you know what I mean? Everything like that. Like Rod Woodson, you know, played safety back there. But like we're talking about like at that time, like all of those guys were literally prime. Like Salp, Brooks, Barber, you know what I'm saying, John Lynch. So, you know, I like those defenses.
Okay, all right. But in 2000, there was a lot of great defense. In 2000, you could
hold on for one second.
Of course, my Steelers, we wasn't the number one thing in 2000. We definitely wasn't the number one in 2000. But I think the number one passing defense of 2000. Correct me, y'all can fact check me on this, but I believe it was the Tennessee Titans. Remember the Tennessee Titans with Javon Kersenum was going crazy in 2000. Ooh, they was going crazy. Wow, they was. Y'all definitely can fact check me on that. But I want to go a little bit more before that time. I want to give love to the 91 Eagles, bruh.
Okay.
They did look, the 91 Eagles didn't make the playoffs that year. They didn't make the playoffs because if y'all remember, Randall Cunningham had an ACL injury then. He had an ACL injury. But dog, come on, man. How can you not like a defense, bro? Let me just get y'all some of these names, bro. Reggie White, Clyde Simmons, Mike Pitts, Jerome Brown, Seth Joyner, Jesse Small was on that defense, although like he didn't have a lot on the stats, but he still played a part on that defense. Brian Evans, Eric Allen, Wes Hopkins. These, oh, they was going off. Y'all know Reggie Wright went to Tennessee, 6'5", 291, dog. Came up out the supplemental draft in 84. Clyde Simmons, yeah, if y'all don't know who that is, defensive tackle. He went to Western Cali, 6'5", 229. They picked him in the ninth round, 1986. He came out. Mike Pitts went to Alabama, 6'5", 277. Boy, Atlanta drafted him in the first round of the 1983 draft. Jerome Brown, number 99. Where he come from? Where Jerome Brown come from? Miami. That's right, dog. First round, ninth pick, 1987 draft, dog. They look, man, they was going in, bro. Going in. He said the Giants. I'm trying to keep up with the comments. The Giants beat the undefeated Patriots. Okay. All right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they did. Yes, they did. Cooper Flag, Ice Bailey, Ron Harper, Jr. Bay. Oh my goodness, he naming them off, bro. He going in. So who's your next defense, man?
I'm gonna let you go.
He yeah. Said Steelers was always hitting that wood. Yeah, we definitely was. The Steelers was always in it. I gotta give a shout out to South Coast King. He told me to make sure that I got his purple. The purple people eaters, the Vikings back then in the 70s, they was going crazy. They definitely was. So was the Rams. And he said the steel curtain, though. He picked the purple people eaters and the steel curtain. He told me to put them down for them, too. So shout out to South Coach Kane for that. And I'm going to go ahead and bounce that. Now, obviously, you want me to go. So I got to show love to the old school. I get a lot of old, you know, my old OGs out there, they watch me. A lot of y'all watch me, so I respect that. And for that simple fact, that's why I went ahead and I wanted to talk about the 1975 Rams, dog. I wanted to talk about the Rams, dog. 1975 Rams. Yes, sir. Now, before I get up in this, y'all gonna say, well, who's the 1975 Rams? So I'm gonna educate y'all a little bit. So let me get my notes real quick together for y'all. So they had left a defensive end by the name of Jack Youngblood, 15 sacks, 6'4", 274 from Florida. He was picked in the first round, 1971 draft. Fred Dreyer, defensive end. He was picked up by the Giants in the first round in 1969 draft. Merlin Olsen, defensive tackle. He was on that defense. The Denver Broncos picked him up in the first round, but they traded it to the Rams. Isaiah Robertson was the linebacker over there. Jack Reynolds, Bill Simpson, Michigan. He went to Michigan State. Monty Jackson, that was his rookie year. He came out the 1975 draft, went to San Diego State. Larry Brooks, the defensive tackle, 6'3", 255, went to Virginia State. Like, I got to show love to the old school defenses. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You already know I got to show love to these old school guys. And you know what I mean? My OGs out there representing. Y'all know. Yeah, got to show love. So who's on your list next?
I love secondary.
Ooh.
You know, I love a good secondary. You know what I mean?
So I think you going with my Steelers?
No, I'm not going with your doggone Steelers. What are you talking about going with your Steelers?
Mel Blunt had 11 interceptions back then with your I mean 11 interceptions in one season. That defense was crazy.
That's good. I got my stuff saved in my computer. But I gotta go with the 2009 New York Jets, right? First year under first year under Rex Ryan as the head coach. Again, Darrell Revis All-Pro year, led by David Harris at the linebacker position. He had 127 total tackles. Bart Scott was there. Jim Leonard at safety. Obviously, we know Jim Leonard played for the Baltimore Ravens at a particular point in time. Just an overall, just a good defense. You know what I mean? Like I said, I love secondary. You know what I mean? Revis Island. Again, we're talking about a situation where you got a team that I admire them more because obviously you got Mark Sanchez stepping in as a first-time quarterback, rookie quarterback, stepping in. And you know that in those type of situations, the defense has to shoulder so much of the load. So they ended the season. Let me see. I got my notes here.
2009,
They ended the season only allowing 14.8 points per game, which led the NFL that year. They only allowed 236 total points that entire particular year. So again, they only averaged 21.8 points per game.
Yeah.
So they like, hey, look, y'all get two touchdowns and a field goal. Hey, we can win the game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They went 9-7 that particular year, finished second in the AFC East that particular year. But that defense right there
was crazy. That defense was crazy. I ain't gonna lie. Shout out to them Jets, man. Them Jets was on point. I ain't gonna lie. But the 2000 Ravens, we gotta talk about them. They ain't gotta be on our list, but we gotta talk about the 2000 Ravens. And for multiple reasons, reasons. Peter Bowler, Ray Lewis, Jamie Sharper, Dwayne Starks, like Rod Woodson, he was playing safety out there. We know they was fire, and it's an easy pick, right? But the thing is, and I want to try to get to some of these younger folks, you know what I'm saying? Some of my kids and some of his friends watch the shows and stuff. So I want to try to educate them on who the coaches was on that 2000 Ravens. You just named one of them, but at the time he was the defensive line of coach for that 2000 Ravens squad. Rex Wine was the defensive line coach for the 2000 Ravens. Hold up, I ain't done. Jack Del Rio was the linebackers coach on the 2000 Ravens. Hold up, I ain't done. The defensive coordinator for the 2000 Ravens was Marvin Lewis, one of the Cincinnati Bengals' most iconic coaches, even though he, you know, lost a lot, but we still remember that, right? We still remember that, right?
Yeah, we still got tipped the hat.
Mike Smith being a defense assistant and helping Rex Ryan on that defense. Like, come on, like, that's epic. Priest Holmes. You got a backfield with Priest Holmes and Jamal Lewis in the backfield. Come on, man. Come on, man. I'm just saying, man. Y'all got, like, it didn't even matter that they had trimmed Dilfer at quarterback, and then they had Shannon Sharp at tight end. But look, that team, I give props to them, man. You know, we seen them and we had some epic battles with that team. We was obviously right behind them. I believe we led them in sacks that year. I must say that. Yeah, my Steelers led sacks in our division. You know what I mean? So I just want to, you know, talk about the 2000 Ravens and give them they flowers before I get to talking about my next team here, because I gotta go most recent. And when we talking about recent with my last one, you know what I'm talking about. The Legion of Boom. They just shut down the opposing offenses in the era. They was catered for offense success. You couldn't do nothing on them boys out there with the 2013 Legion of Boom. That name was hard. That name was horrible. I think it was that name was that's one of the toughest names out there besides the Steel Curtain, the Legion of Boom. You hear that? When you hear it, you just get like you be like, ooh, the Legion of Boom. That's just horror. That's like when Bane came out, like I'm born in the dark. Think I'm afraid of the dark? I'm born in the dark. Legion of Boom. That shit was hard. And I love that defense, man. Now, I can name the players. Y'all want me to go in and name the players for y'all? I'm not going to do it because y'all know who's on that team. Michael Bennett was the ultimate pass rusher on that defense.
He was.
And
from a defensive tackle perspective, too.
Earl Thomas. What we talking about? What we talking about here, man? Who we talking about, man? They was just, they was great, man. And I love that team, man. The 2013
Legion of Boom.
That's how you gotta say it, though, bro. Like,
that's how you gotta say it. Yeah.
Yeah, bro. That's how you gotta say that. Like, you know what I mean? All right, yeah, man. So who you got up, man? What you, who you got for your last one?
And again, like I told you, a little secondary. Yeah, a little secondary. So I go with the 2015 Denver Broncos.
Oh,
Chris Harris, Keith Tlaib. Again, defense with guys at all three levels. Von Miller coming off the edge. You had Danny Trevathan leading the team in tackles, 109 tackles. And like I said, you got Aqib Talib and Chris Harris, man in the corners. I mean, again, another team where, again, we pretty much remember that year. You know what I mean? Back and forth with the quarterbacks. Obviously, Peyton Manning ended up getting them over the hump, so to speak, because he wasn't the Peyton that played the Legion of Boom. You know what I'm saying? He wasn't that incarnation of Peyton Manning anymore. It was over. But their defense did not surrender. Was fourth in NFL, only allowed 18.5 points. The offense only they only averaged 22.2 points per game. So again, similar situation. And like I said, you have to think about this because again, 2015, we can look at it and say, okay, this is when it is getting geared towards offense. You can't touch the receivers and all that stuff like that. So you really just have to. You really got to take your hat off, especially to a modern era defense that can be led by a secondary like the Legion of Boom, like these 2015, you know, Denver Broncos, because it's hard to do it with the rules the way that they are now. And then obviously, you know, with the new rule about, you know, the hip drop tackle and stuff like that. So it's really becoming hard for, you know, defenses to do it. But
yes, it is.
These teams that we've named, you know what I mean? They've done it. They did at a high level. You know what I mean? We're able to bring the Lombardi Trophy home.
And we could go on and on and on and on and on and talking about
we could go on and on.
This can go forever and forever and forever, man. You know what I mean? Because when you get to looking at, did I pick the right guys for the, I tried to get Dick Butkus in there. I did. I tried to get Dick Butkus in the picture, but I couldn't get a photo of him.
Hey, but you know what? Let me ask you this particular question, right? You named some older defenses, right? I kind of stayed a little bit. I stayed a little bit more modern, right? In terms of just the teams, right? But if we could take like the best, we know the best offense of the 80s was 49ers, right? We know the best 80s? Defense. You think? I mean, you can make an argument between them, you know, maybe the Cowboys with the offense that they did with running through Emmitt Smith. But I think most people will look at it and say, okay, when the 49ers got that offense clicking,
right,
that was the best. So, like, my question is, like, the best offense of an era versus the best defense of an era, who do you give the edge to?
Defense wins championships.
But I'm saying, who would you give the edge to? Like, because again, like I said, you know, we're just talking about it from a perspective. Like, the 49ers had a pretty good defense in the 80s, right? You know, they did. And the like you say, the Bears' offense, it wasn't what it, you know, it wasn't up there to that level.
Maybe we should do this next week. We get this together and we start matching up.
We'll start in the 70s. We'll start with the 70s.
We'll start 70s, with the 70s. 80s, and then we'll go to the 80s. 90s. And then the 90s. And then 2000s. So this all one show where we just going to do, we focus on the 70s next week.
Bro, I want to start with 2000s.
The 2000s?
I want to start with the best show on turf versus the 2000 Ravens.
Oh, there was a lot of good defenses in 2000, though, like I said. Like,
but I'm just, but
that's what they pass you. Like secondary, they were the number one pass defense. But that was highly because of Javon Kirksen.
But I'm just saying, you know, from an era, like I said, I picked the 02 Bucks, right? But I'll concede and say, okay, everyone's looking at the 2000 Ravens. So that's what I'm saying. How would that look against the best show on turf?
In 2000.
How does that look against Kurt Warner?
Ray Lewis was he was a mastermind back there. He was a mastermind, bro. Ray Lewis was shout out to the U and everybody that's watching from the U, man. All of y'all supporting us, man. I appreciate it. Hit that like button, keep sharing us. But Ray Lewis was he was really a mastermind at middle linebacker. He really was. So I would match him up against anybody. He said only one quarterback gave him a problem. Just one.
But I'm just saying.
And that was Tom Brady. He said that was the only quarterback that he had the best. Other than that, Ray Lewis said nobody. So I got to go with the Ravens as of right now.
We'll break it down. But
see, that's what I'm saying. We got to break this down. We got to go in and break it down and get the matchups.
Do you want to go with the Rams as the offense, or you got another offense in mind?
In 2000? The greatest.
We have to do, like, we say errors. We go, like, 10 years. Like, from 2000 to 2010, do you feel like it was an offense better than the St. Louis Rams from 2000 to 2010?
I do.
Like, because you – okay, which one you got? Who you think from 2000 to 2010?
We really wasn't an offensive team, so I'm not going to say us as offense because a lot of our teams won because of defense. But I would definitely put a lot of the Steelers 2000s defense, and this ain't even me being a homer. Y'all know as well in the 2000s, the Steelers defenses was crazy with Troy Polamalu back there, Ryan Clark, and Ike Taylor, even though he had hands of stone, he dropped everything, he still would bat this shit. But
I'm just talking about offense though. Like offense, do you feel like it was a better offense than like 2010? Do you think it was like an offense?
There was a lot of great players. I like the Rams, man. I like the Seahawks. Then I liked it. The Saints. I can't even say that name on here. But,
How about this? This is what we'll do, right? We'll make it simple, right?
So we'll go.
Like I say, we'll talk about it. So we'll do like 2000 Ravens, right? And we'll find the offense, right? So then we'll do like, you know, whatever defense, like whichever one of the Steelers defenses from the 70s, whichever one you prefer. So like I said, yeah, so we'll do that. We'll just make that the main topic at the end of the show. So we, like I said, we'll do 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, and then we'll do 2010 to 2020. So we'll break it down from 10-year increments, and we'll do it like that. We'll pick a defense, whichever defense that most people feel like was the best defense at that time, in that 10-year span, and we'll figure out statistically. Now, obviously, again, with the offense, it's going to be kind of interesting once we get into, like, the 2000s because, obviously, we know the rules change, and we got to kind of be cognizant of that with the defense as well. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, from 2010 to 2020, I guess most people would probably go with that Patriots offense, you know, Brady the mouse, but we saw what happened to, you know, when they ran up against the Giants. But will we say the Giants was the best defense at that time?
At that time, the best defense, statistically, the Giants wasn't the best defense. But look, you can argue that. I don't know.
Strahan, but like I said, a lot of stuff is going to be about matchups. But like I said, we'll talk about it. But
we got
But like I said, I wanted this stuff. But no, we'll stay in order. We'll start with the 70s. So
it's a great series. This is going to be an awesome series. This is going to be great.
We're going to start with the 70s.
It's like a kid on Christmas right now. I can't wait. I'm going to push fast forward real quick. Now you got me all excited. But look, all right, so we're going to start with the 2000s. How about we start most recent and then go back? We'll start back and then go forward. Let's go. So we'll start from the 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, 2010s. And then, okay, all right, so we'll do it like that. So y'all can expect that from us next week. We're going to match up the best offenses and defense from the 70s, the best offense and defense from the 80s, the best offense and defense from the 90s, so forth and so on. And we're going to match them up, and we're going to talk about it. But I got an announcement to make for everybody out there, man. Hit that like button, man. Subscribe to us, man, and all that good stuff. I will be going to the Coach Hayes restaurant.
Uh-oh.
On Tuesday.
Make sure you order Tuesday a glass of cane juice.
Y'all make sure y'all there with y'all cane juice, y'all popcorn, and everything else, because I'm going up in there. I'm going in. I'm going to go have some fun, man. I'm going to go have some fun with Coach Hayes, man. It's going to be a blast. It's going to be fun. That's my OG, man. I talk to him all the time. You know what I mean? He's always giving me advice, and, you know, I hit him up, and people don't want no smoke. They don't want to go to Coach Hayes restaurant. But look, I'm prepared. I'm going to bring my apron and my bib. I'm going to bring my apron and my bib. Yes, I am, because just in case I get cooked, I got a bib for it. You know what I mean? It's all in good fun, though, man. You know what I'm saying? It's all in good fun. You know, it's the off season. We having fun. And I got my CB radio. I got my CB radio, so I'll be on my CB radio. You know, it's my new joint. You know what I mean? You know, got my CB and all that good stuff. So I'm definitely going in over there. I'm coming with it, because, you know, us truckers, we got to get a good meal in every now and then. Coach Hayes restaurant was open, so I went there. So I said, let's go, you know, got everything ready. So, but they did tell me to. And I told them, I said, that's what I'm going to do. I'm definitely going to leave him like this. They're going to be calling like this looking for him. They're going to be like, what's going on? Looking for victims. Because I'm telling you, I don't know. It ain't going to be like that. But coach is coach, man. But y'all make sure y'all tune in to that show, man. He said, Breaker 1-9, Rubber Ducky. Breaker 1-9, Truck and Tribby over here. Yeah. He said, don't be messing with no lot lizards, the lizards of lots.
Man,
yeah, wow.
Yeah, wow, man.
You know, I just pulled over here to go to the restaurant. Over.
Hey, wow, bro.
Hey, I'm just going over there to go eat, man. You know what I'm saying? He the Waffle House chef. You know, he the Waffle House chef. The Waffle House chef. You, don't be lying. That should be good. The Waffle House be hitting, cuz. Don't even front, man. But yeah, man, that's gonna be fun, man. So I would like y'all support there over there. And Tuesday night, I believe that's going to be, what is it, like 8, 9 o'clock or something like that. I know I'll be up late, tired, going to work next day, Wednesday, but it is what it is, man. But y'all make sure, look, nonetheless, before we get on up out of here, man, please support my brother with his books, man. He comes on here. He does an awesome job with me, man. I'm trying to support everything he does. I know, like I said, I'm definitely about to cop my book. So y'all make sure y'all hit Shad up to get y'all a copy of his books before he becomes a well-known best-selling author out here. Because we going to get there. We going to get there. Believe that. With the help of y'all and all of us together, ain't nothing we cannot do out here. You dig? You dig? But, yo, I had fun tonight, man. This was great, man. This was great. I had fun, bro. How about you, man?
Yeah. Hey, but you know, I say this in closing about the Bronny James topic. If it don't work out, him and his dad, they can retire together.
Oh, shit.
Average NBA career, 3 years. Bron got three more in him. They can retire together, man. The decision part, too. Walk away from the game.
Oh, man, he got to do it, don't he? He got to do it, man. Man, make sure y'all follow us, man. Make sure y'all hit me up on the Apple, iHeart, Amazon, Samsung, Deezer, TuneIn, whatever platform you got. Catch us up on there. You can't catch us on YouTube. Like, share, subscribe, man. I appreciate y'all coming in here, man. For real, for real. Oh, appreciate it, man. But until the next time, y'all know how we giving it up. Peace.
Want to see Truck and Chubby live and co-host Shad? Tune in. Fans Point of View. Saturday, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 3:30 p.m. Pacific. time. But in the meantime, in between time, enjoy the content. Don't forget to hit your notification bell for all updates. Thank you for watching.